This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming, to movies, TV shows and pop culture, to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA, with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here, live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. You know, I have come across many advice columns and posts of people questioning if their behavior is appropriate or not. Licensed psychologist Dr. Jamika Woody Cooper joins me to sift through some of these posts and break down these individuals' behavior. Thanks for joining me, Dr. Jamika.
Hi, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Could you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I am a counseling psychologist, and I've been practicing in St. Louis for about 15, 16 years. And my specialty is a mixture of urban mental health, trauma, multicultural, LGBTQ, and older adults.
How'd you want to become a doctor for? I mean, was it a passion that you had?
Well, the passion was for helping people and just kind of listening to people's stories and their backgrounds. That's really how I got started in it. And just also being pulled into psychology because of my interest in activism. So it's a field where it has some components of activism as far as research teaching and then kind of more on a global and cultural level.
Well, on Reddit, they have these posts. It's an area where it's called, Am I the A-hole? And people put up their grievances and, you know, want to see if everybody else either agrees or disagrees with their situation. And I would love to have your opinion of this. And the first one is, sure. This person wrote, I lurk on this sub a lot and I made a throwaway to ask this question. Sorry for any formatting issues. I'm on a mobile. Before we get started, I'd like to note that I haven't actually gone through with this yet. I want to make sure I'm not being an a-hole, and I'm worried that I might be. A few weeks ago, I did a first visit with a new therapist named A. I've needed therapy for a while now, and I'm finally in a place where I can afford it. I picked therapist A because she was experienced working with people who have religious trauma, and she herself used to be a member of the same religion I used to be. Given that my primary reason for going is linked to the trauma experienced from that religion, it's important to me that my therapist have that insider understanding. Today, I got a text from the office that she treats at, and they informed me that A's schedule is really full and that she recommended a different therapist, therapist B. Ooh, now it gets good. For what it's worth, B did sit on my first session. My main question is this. Would I be an a-hole if I text back asking about B's religious affiliations and then decline to meet with her depending on the answer? Now, what do you think of that? Can people do this?
Yes, they can. They definitely can. It's actually not that unusual. I get calls a lot from people who are interested in certain types of work and they have certain issues and they're looking for a therapist with a certain background. So it's not unusual. I think there are some parts of it that make it a little, it's leaning toward the a-hole a little bit. So what I'll say about this, lots of times, especially now, I think mental health and therapy is a little bit more popular than it used to be, say, 10 years ago. So people are being a little bit more picky. They're being a little bit more specific about what they want, and that's a good thing. They should be able to advocate for themselves. So I feel like in the same way that a person would want a therapist with a certain racial and ethnic background, I don't think it's that unusual to want someone with a certain religious background. But here's where it gets tricky. I think it's very reasonable to expect the therapist to have a background in, you know, fill in the blank or a certain religious practice. I think it's unreasonable to expect the therapist to have experienced that religion or to have practiced that religion, because that now narrows your window of available providers. That is an issue usually across the country. The more you add on your list of these are the things I want in my therapist, the smaller that window and that pool gets. So now if you're wanting to get help quickly, you just narrowed that list down and it's likely that you're not going to find someone who fits these criteria.
I don't know. I don't think this person's being the a-hole, because I think to myself, if the therapist was a Baptist and I was a former Jehovah Witness, I would like them to know a little bit about being a Jehovah Witness, or at least have some kind of familiarity rather than just reading it. Like, being part of the Jehovah Witness, like a temple, I mean, that stuff is very different.
So what you just said was knowledge of. I think it's reasonable to expect someone to have knowledge of a religion or knowledge of a certain practice. But I think the more you get into expecting, you want a therapist that has had practice in this religion. Well, two things. One, it may be harder to find. And two, there are a lot of practicing therapists who do not like to self-disclose their religion, their politics, their political, you know, their stance on abortion. They will sit, even if you were sitting in front of them and you were to ask them, they simply won't answer.
Wow. Wow. Well, they're supposed to be impartial, so I can understand that.
Exactly. So, because they don't want their experience and their background to be a focal point of the therapy.
That's a good point, because it's about the patient.
Exactly.
Ah, okay, okay. I could see that then. All right. Maybe a bit half and half here. Need to be a little bit more open-minded, but, you know, yes. I think it's kind of also, if you're the first time going to a therapist, I think you can make a little bit mistakes. That's just me.
Yes, I would agree.
Okay, so here's the second one. And this one I thought was pretty interesting. So this person wrote, I was raised by parents who believed religiously and just culturally in rigid gender roles. Dad should work. Mom should stay home with the kids. And I'm the only girl and have three brothers. Because of their expectations, I'd stay home with the kids. They'd never valued my education, educational achievements, or emphasized things beyond domestic skills. Ooh, I'd be mad. I'm the second youngest, by the way. By the time I was in high school, my two older brothers had gone to the college of their choice, with my parents fully covering tuition, books, an off-campus apartment, and other living expenses. They eventually did the same for my younger brother. I was told I wasn't allowed to apply for college. I did so in secret and got accepted with a partial scholarship. I didn't tell them I was moving out until a week before I left, with essentially nothing but what a few friends gave to me that their parents bought them for college. I took engineering, had to work, take on debt, and struggled. My parents and I have barely spoken for years. I'm married now and expecting our first child, and they asked to meet up. We met at a park, and they said they were sorry if they caused me pain, but would like a relationship now. I asked them specifically what they were sorry for. They wouldn't elaborate and just said they wanted to move forward. I said that wasn't sufficient. In the end, I said they could prove they were sorry by forwarding me the $100,000 my degree and college expenses were, just like they did for my brothers. My mom burst into tears. My dad said I wasn't being serious and just left. Since then, I've been getting calls from my brothers telling me I'm being immature and hurtful. I don't think so. What do you think?
This one was a hard one for me because I don't feel like she's being an a-hole because her feelings are valid. Her feelings are valid. Her experiences are real. And I can only imagine what she must have experienced growing up in a house where she felt less than her brothers. So because of the parents' immoral or cultural religious beliefs, they didn't feel like women should do that. But instead of just getting to know their child to see what was good for their child, they kind of hung on to these beliefs. And I feel like as a parent, that's unfair. That's unjust for your child. It's not appropriate. So is her request unreasonable? I can see how the parents would think it is because they're like, is this really about the money? And as a therapist, I know that it's not about the money for her. She's using the money as a way to feel validated or to feel like they're trying to make amends. But in my opinion, I feel like even if they were to pay her the money back, it would not erase all the pain and trauma for years that she's experienced.
I think so, because money's an easy fix. $20 and you'll leave me alone, boom, I'll do it, right? I don't think that would be, that's not good enough.
It wouldn't be good enough, even if they paid her in full. It doesn't erase the years of pain. It doesn't erase the years of her feeling minimized or dismissed. That could never goes away. I'm guessing, you know, for all these years, she's kind of internalized that and carried it into her adult life. And I'm sure it's caused some problems for her in relationships and other situations. So that would not go away with the money. Would the money make her feel like, okay, now they care and they're trying to make a difference? Perhaps. But based on their kind of weak apology, I'm going to probably go with the no. It doesn't sound like it's sincere if they can't verbalize what they're apologizing for.
So if you're in a situation like this where you know you're getting a half-hearted, like, just let it go, not even an apology, what do you do? Do you just let it go?
Me personally, I let it go, and I would encourage my patients to let it go. Because if a person can't give you an apology, a sincere apology, like, I apologize for blah, 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 and for how it made you feel, it's not a true and sincere apology, which means chances are their actions and their values and behaviors that existed then are probably still there.
Oh, absolutely. And what if she's having a girl? That means they would expect the daughter to be at home, stay at home mom too, and you better not do anything either. They wouldn't be very supportive of an education. So, I mean, the cycle would begin again.
Again, and it would probably make her more enraged to see that happen to her children, because it would trigger her in so many other ways. So I think in this case, the brothers are wrong for telling her that she's being immature and hurtful, because only a person who has benefited from all the things that the parents have given them would say such a thing. And only a male that's been raised in a household to believe that they are better than women would say such a thing.
So what do you think she should do? Just leave it alone? Distance herself? Just that's it?
I would probably say I'm not sure if she should take the request off the table, because whether it happens or not, it's not going to fix how she feels inside. But I would expect a sincere apology, a very sincere and detailed apology from the parents. And until I receive that and also change behavior from them, I would just choose to not have a relationship with them, because for her to invite them into her life and they haven't changed is going to be more toxic for her, and it's going to cause her and her family more harm down the line. So it's easier to walk away if they haven't fixed themselves and acknowledge the horror that they have put her through. Then it's not worth it.
Yeah, I think having relatives like that at arm's length, like I'll see you on Christmas and that's pretty much it. That's how I would play it.
I would too, but in this case, even Christmas might be a bit too much for her to have to deal with, because you're taking what's supposed to be a happy time of the year for you and your children, and now you've just dropped in this level of toxicity. I'm not even sure it would be worth it for that.
That's a good point. So many good points here. Well, Dr. Jameka, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find more information about you?
They could go to my website, which is www.drjameka.com, or they could also go to my Facebook page, which is Dr. Jameka on Facebook. I would love to hear more from people about their thoughts on these two examples.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter @MasonVeraPayne, that's all one word, and don't forget to share the show with your friends.